It's a miracle when you can get kids to coordinate with anything, let alone a whole entire play, isn't it? It's a miracle that how we treated sleeping church members for this play. It's a miracle to get them out awake in the middle of a service. So we must be off to a good start. We already got one awake. All right. This morning, I would like to speak on a topic a message called The Gift from God. As we reflect on the Christmas season, many times you ask the kids, and what do you think of when you think of the Christmas season? And if they're in church and they want to be real spiritual, they'll say, they'll talk, well, we think of Jesus. Well, but mostly, you know what the second answer typically is when you ask a child what they love most about Christmas? What do you think it is? They love those presents, right? They cannot wait, and we torture them for almost a whole month with just putting presents underneath a tree and watching them walk by and telling them not to touch it, pick it up, don't shake it, all the kind. If you were like me as a little kid, you would find the tape where it was sealed and kind of peek under the seal. Did anyone else do anything like that besides me? But we look forward to a gift, and the thing about a gift, are we typically enamored when a child receives a gift and you hand a child a gift? The first response they typically have is their, Mom, what a beautiful wrapping job you did. Mom, this is my favorite wrapping paper. This is the most beautiful wrapping paper, right? That's what they typically do. No, that's not what they do at all. They could care less how much time you put into wrapping it. They could care less how pretty the bow is. When a child receives a gift, what do? They have no reserve. They're just tearing that thing open. And what is the purpose of tearing that open? They are looking to see what's in. That's what matters. That is the whole reason of a gift. They want to see what is inside the gift. That is what drives the excitement of Christmas or a child receiving a present, is what's inside of the gift. You know, the Bible says that we have been given a gift from God. Now, if we get that excited over earthly presents received from parents or friends and family, shouldn't we be as equally or it should be much more excited about a gift that we would receive from God? Knowing God as our creator and his supreme power and authority, God's telling us that if he has given each and every person a gift, wouldn't you have a desire to know what that gift is? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. James 1:17 on the front of your bulletin says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if God has offered a gift to mankind, do you think that we should, and this is where a majority of America, we get wrapped up in the traditions, and these things are good of talking about baby Jesus, and we're talking about Mary and Joseph and the Christmas story, but what is the meaning of the Christmas story is not on necessarily what's on the outside, but the meaning of why he came. And it's really the reason that the meaning of Christmas is that God has given each and every man a gift. And that gift in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. We can understand that the gift from God to mankind is Jesus. But if that is all that it means to you is a story or a nativity scene, you have missed the purpose of God's gift to man. It's more than a story. It's more than just a religious cliche that we do every year. No, the reason that we are so excited at Christmas and we celebrate this time is because of what is inside the gift that God has given to us. The first thing I want to see that God has given to us, in Romans 3:4, it says, being justified freely or as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. See, what God, when God has sent his son, he sent his son to for man for a specific purpose, and that purpose was to bring justification to mankind, to bring redemption, to bring salvation to man, that we needed to be redeemed. God is saying that the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every created being that God has created has sinned. They have fallen short of his standard or his requirement or his perfection. Every one of us have sinned. We have broken God's laws. If you just take a moment and you glance through the Ten Commandments, most people know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. But the Bible says that if you hate a man or be angry with a man in your heart, that you've committed murder already. Do you know the Bible standard that if you are angry with someone, it's just the same seed, murder as murder, because murder is the tree that grows from the seed of hate. So when God sees hate or anger in our hearts, it equals murder. Think about that. That's a high standard, isn't it? That's a perfection that all of us have failed at. What about a second one? Thou shalt not steal. Well, did you ever receive a Christmas, your brother or sister receive a Christmas present that you wish you got? I know my kids, when my sister from Arizona sent presents for all of our kids. And it's amazing, kids like each other's presents way better. You ever notice that? They got a toy, but they see their sibling and they take it from them. Even from a young age, you can see the depravity of every single person's sinful heart. The Bible says that if we have stolen at once time in our life, that we're guilty. We have fallen short. What about, the Bible says that if you look upon a woman with lust mentally, that you've committed adultery in your heart? See, the reason that God created such a heavy law is for when man read God's law and his requirements, man would say, it is impossible that I would be able to keep all these things. Who can keep this? This is impossible. And God's saying, exactly the point. Because when you stand before God and you have failed his law, you stand before him as a judge. And if he is a good judge, and you stand before him and he says, you're a lying, thieving, adultery, murderer at heart. And you say, what do you mean? I just took a toy from my brother. Everyone struggles. And God says, yes. And that is the reason that God sent his son. Because man could not save himself. And that is what separates Christianity from all other religions. All other religions, you can boil them down to two belief systems. One is man can save himself through being good enough. That you do enough good works. You go to church, you do this, you do that. And if you do enough good things and they outweigh your bad things, that you'll go be able to enter into heaven. Anyone ever heard that? You can boil down a majority of all religious systems to that. And the only thing that separates Christianity from all other religions is Christianity is the only one that teaches that man cannot save himself. You cannot do enough good things. That God himself must save you. That's what we mean by salvation and redemption. That you're in big trouble with God, for all have sinned. But God has sent a gift, a remedy, something to fix that. And that was his son, Jesus Christ. See, in this gift, we see that we have been given freely. We have been justified. It's a judicial term. So someone that has broken God's law, they can come before God and be forgiven. The greatest thing, one of the greatest things that we have in this gift from God is complete and utter forgiveness. from sin. To mankind, when we look at God's law and we see that we fail, and we look, well, I can't save myself, we should look to the cross. And when we look to the cross, we see God's gift to man in the person of Jesus Christ. When he came and he died on the cross, and he died, he was perfect, and he died to redeem us. So when he hung upon the cross, God being a good God and a good judge, poured out his wrath, his judgment against sin, because he must be just. If he is going to be God, he must be perfect. So he took the justice and the punishment for my sins and for your sins, all those laws that you have broken of God. He poured out his judgment on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was innocent and he was perfect, but you weren't. But he knew you couldn't save yourself, so he sent his son to die in your place to take the punishment you deserved and I deserved. Why? For the simple reason that you and me, through faith and repentance, can be justified. That means one time in our lives we can be declared innocent, completely forgiven. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a court system, and you have a judge that's reading all of your charges, there is nothing worse feeling in all of the world than to not know your fate. It's held in the hands of somebody else. Can I tell you something? That if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not know that you have forgiveness of sins, one day you will stand before God and there will be no turning back. There will be no second chances on that day, because he has freely offered forgiveness of sins, and it is through his Son. Today, the greatest part of the gift from God is every man, woman, child, adult, grandparent, can be completely, one time forever, declared innocent before the eyes of God. Do you see what a great gift that is? That you today can be completely set free and stand before God. And if you died today, if you received his forgiveness of sins, you died today and you stood before his presence, that God would look on your account and he would say, justified, innocent, free to enter into my rest. Nothing that he has done, but he has placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and God has declared him justified. See, it's much more than a Christmas story, isn't it? It's much more than just a nativity scene. No, the reason that we celebrate Christmas is because of the gift of God. That I remember the day when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and he saved me. He completely transformed my life. I lived a life of sin and a terrible life. But when I came to the realization that Jesus Christ would justify me, forgive me, act like it's never happened, forgive me for all of my past, forgive my present, and forgive my future, that I stand before him once and for all innocent, there's no greater gift that you could receive in this life but the forgiveness of sins and justification. Secondly, we don't just accept Christ and we're just going to heaven one day, but our lives here remain the same. Do you know that the second greatest part, I believe, of what's inside this gift at salvation is when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about that we are regenerated, or we are given the Spirit of God. At the moment of faith, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God makes you alive. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, he has, through his Spirit, regenerated you, makes you alive. Because every person in here is three parts. There's body, soul, and spirit. If you are without Christ, you are spiritually dead. The Bible says you have no indicators towards the things of God, no indicators towards spiritual things. These things are dead, but you are governed, your physical body is governed by your soul aspect of your being. Your soul aspect of your being is your mind and your will and your emotions. So you just govern yourself on what you feel and what you think, and you do what's right in your own eyes. But when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he gives you the Spirit of God, which gives you the Bible calls it a new man, a new nature. That you now have a different desire in the things of life. The things that now bog you down or frustrate you or you can't get victory over, you will never be able to get victory over these things in your life apart from God. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. The Spirit of God makes you spiritually alive. And when you are spiritually alive, the Bible says it's like giving you a new nature. You have changed species. It's a perfect illustration. I can't find a better one. It'd be like if I had a pig over here and I had a bucket of slop and a steak dinner over here, shrimp. And if I have that pig and I let that pig go, automatically, all the time, he is a majority going to go to the most nastiest, smelliest, stinkiest. He's going to go to the slop, isn't he? You know why? Because he's a pig. That's his nature. That's his species. That's what he's going to be governed by. He's a pig. He's going to go to the slop. Now, say I had the power in my being to transform that pig into a different species, and I transformed it to a human, right? It's a different species. It now has a new nature, and I let that human go. Where will that human now go? Will it go to the slop, or will it go to the steak dinner? Do you see what I mean? Salvation isn't just for a fire insurance, or just that we know we're going to heaven when we die. No, he has given us the Spirit of God that we can live a new life, a victorious life here and now. And when that man is released and he goes to he's changed, isn't he? He has a new nature. Now, let's say for the sake of illustration, this human puts his face in the slop. What do you expect when a human puts his face in slop? He's going to like it or no? He might put his face in that slop once again, but because of the new nature that's within him, that when he tastes that slop, he is going to spit that slop out and be disgusted that he ever put his face into that bucket. Wouldn't you agree? See, that is what we are given when we are given the Spirit of God. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he gives us the Spirit of God that gives us a new nature and makes us want spiritual things and changes our lives and it gives us victory. I can tell you 10 years ago, I am not the man I am today that I was 10 years ago. But the Spirit of God has continued a work and a spiritual work that he has continually changed me. And I have victory in this life now. I remember waking up, staying up for days. I remember waking up, looking at myself in the mirror and saying, I'm the most miserable man on the face of this earth. If this is all life has to offer, if it's money and parties and things of this world, I don't have fulfillment in these things. I am empty. I do not want to live. Remember, every day of my existence for about a year, I was completely and utterly miserable and hopeless and had no desire, no reason to continue. And I remember being outside of a casino one day. And I believe this. I got hit in the head with a crowbar. That crowbar went perfectly in the back of my head, perfectly around my brainstem, and the doctor looked at it, and he said this. He said, it is an absolute miracle that you're not dead or a paraplegic. He goes, it was perfectly there. It couldn't have moved one way or another, or you would be dead or a paraplegic. It's a miracle that you're even alive. As I was laying in that hospital bed, there was a man that came walking on the hall. He walked by my hospital bed, or my room, and then he walked back again. Then he walked back a third time, stopped, and he looked in at my room. He said, son, can I talk to you? He said, well, God woke me up to come talk to you, sent me up to the hospital. I didn't know. I said, oh, great, here we go. That's what I thought. I was spiritually dead. I didn't care about spiritual things. And I just figured it was one of those weirdos with a Bible. That's truly what I thought. And so he came into my room. He said, son, He goes, God told me to come talk to you specifically. He said, I just want to read you one verse. I'll never forget it. It pierced my heart, and I've never forgotten it since. Mark 8:36. What shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world? He lives his life to the fullest here and now, but he loses his own soul. He said, son, what will it profit you if you die without Christ? At that moment, I didn't give my life to Christ, but I remember that, remembering that verse, and I knew that God wanted to do something with my life. I remember laying in that hospital bed the next day, and I remember laying there, and I remember pouring out my heart to God, and I said, God, if you will save me, I will serve you, I will live for you, and I just confessed my sin before God, and I remember that day I walked out of the hospital a completely different person. God had justified me, forgave me, but he regenerated me with his spirit, and I desired spiritual things for the first time ever in my life. And I remember calling my mom. I had a praying mama. My mom, she was one of those moms that I was out away at college, and she would send me preaching CDs and little books, and she would always say, I'm praying for you, James, and constantly bombarding me with spiritual things. But she would cry, and she would just weep, and she was saying, I just wish God would get a hold of your life. I would just push her off. Remember that phone call? Remember, I said, Mom, I said, would it be okay if I came home? She was in shock. I was 17 years old. The moment I turned 17, I hightailed it out of my parents' house, didn't look back. I called my mom, and I said, Mom, can I come home? She goes, you okay? She thought mentally, are you okay mentally? And I told her, I said, Mom, I said, I've given my life to Christ. And she said, you can come home. And ever since then, I engulfed myself in church. I engulfed myself in the scriptures. And God had changed my life. I can testify that the Spirit of God will change you. That is a gift from God. He can give you new life here and now, not just in eternity. Thirdly, and we'll close, the third thing that we have, John 3:16, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now think about that with me. Everyone in here will spend an eternity somewhere. Look around. There will be people that he, under the voice of my words this morning, that will hear the gospel message, hear the free gift offered by God, and reject it. And they will spend an eternity in the lake of fire which burneth forever and ever and ever, where there is no escape, where they are eternally tormented. And many people say, oh, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? They do not understand the definition of a free gift. This is the point. This is how God is just when he judges people for the last time, when he condemns them to hell. Because you have rejected a free gift. Now think with me for a second. If I was going to give this Bible away as a gift, what would someone have to do for it to remain a gift to take it? What would they have to do? Receive it, right? It's that simple. You would receive the gift. You would receive it based upon the merit of the giver. What if you said, well, let me do your yard work for that gift? It would cease to be a gift, wouldn't it? You would now have earned it. But if I offered a gift and this person didn't receive the gift, could they be mad at me? Would they be able to say, well, you offered me the gift, but I didn't want it, but now I do? No, they couldn't be mad at me. They couldn't say I was a bad person because I had offered the gift freely, right? So God puts it in your court. He has finished salvation. He has finished the work of redemption. It is free. Grace is open. The mercy seat is there. You can enter in freely. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. God is offering you this free gift. But if you reject it, it is still on your court. It's still on your record.
God offered you the free gift. He offered you forgiveness of sins. He offered you new life. He offers you eternal life. But if you reject it, it's not God's fault. It's yours. And you will remember this voice and this message for eternity. God has offered you eternal life. Forever to live in the presence of God where there's no sickness, no pain. And you can be in eternal bliss and joy forever with Christ if you will repent and believe the gospel that Christ has died for you. That's the gift. That's the gift from God. There is no greater gift in this entire world that you could have other than this gift. He offers it. If he's offered it, what must you do to receive this tremendous, wonderful gift? Many people don't understand faith. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Faith. We are justified. We are received Christ by faith. Faith is our hand of our heart that reaches out by when it trusts the promises of God. Does that make sense? When you hear this message and you say, "I believe what God says," and in your heart you say, "God, if you'll forgive me," and you reach out by faith and you receive the forgiveness of sins. Because if he's working in your heart and he's drawing you to believe this message, do not harden your hearts towards God. If he is working in your life, repent and believe the gospel. Don't turn him away. Don't put it off to a deathbed confession. Don't put it off another year, another month, another week, another year. Don't put it off. He has brought you here to hear the message of God's greatest gift that he could offer man, and that's his son. Now what will you do? Will you reject the gift? Look into the face of God. Look to the cross and see the tremendous payment that his son paid for you, and you'll stand in the face of God and in his son, and you reject that gift, and you think you will stand before God and have something to say to God. He has offered you mercy and forgiveness and eternal life and new life, but you will make a decision today to either accept it or to reject it. But it's in your court. Let's bow in prayer. As we bow our heads, and I want to ask, listen to these. This is the most important time in your life. You heard a message of God's gift to man. And it's not for the person sitting next to you in the pew. It's not for the person down the road or someone in another church. It's for you. Has there been a point in your life that you have received this gift from God? Has there been a point where you have come in your heart where you said, "God, I want to be forgiven. I believe that you have died and you have rose again and you are willing to save me. I believe this." Has there been a point in your life where you have received Jesus Christ? If there hasn't, we just look up and say, "Pastor James, I see that. Pastor James, I would like to know more about Jesus and his free gift. Pastor James, I want to know that my sins are forgiven." Would you just look up at me? If you'd like to know this, thank you. Thank you. Now, please. The Bible says you can seek someone out here. There's people here that are willing to help you and show you how you can know that Jesus can be your Savior. But please, in your heart, if you can do it here in your seat, if you would just say, "Lord, I believe that you have died. I believe that you sent your son to die on the cross to pay a penalty that I could not pay." And you just confess in your heart before God, "God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know that I need to be forgiven. The only way I can be forgiven is if you impart forgiveness to me." If you pour your heart out to God, he will save you. He will. It's the greatest gift. So in your heart, if you just say, "God, I know that I have sinned, but I know that you have died on the cross and has offered me this free gift of salvation. In my heart, I receive this free gift that you offer. I receive it by faith and repentance. And you ask the Lord to save you. The Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. Please pour out your heart before God. Let's close. Father, we come before you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son. Lord, it's the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. Father, I pray for those that, Lord, acknowledge their need of you. Father, I pray that you would show them your goodness. Lord, your love that was displayed on the cross. Lord, you would show them your tremendous love for them. Lord, for them to come back to you. Lord, restore that relationship with them. Do a mighty work in their lives. Lord, bring them to repentance, I pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we had. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, help us to be thankful for the gift that you have given. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.